Channel1450.com press box. Stay with us after the show. You get the Channel 20 news, and then at 6:30 we'll have pregame. Cubs and Pirates, 7 o'clock first pitch, Jason Hamill, Ryan Vogelsong.
Going for the sweep.
Cubbies going for the sweep. What, a 14-game lead on the Cardinals now?
Yes.
Yeah, 14. We'll just put it that way.
And frankly, at this point, I think in this series, Cardinal fans are Cubs fans because given that breathing room against the Pirates. Okay, we've done the Sangamo power rankings. Much like last week, the CS8 power rankings are not quite as difficult for us to navigate. We have a general consensus here. Let's run through them. We start with Sacred Heart Griffin, the number one team. I don't know that anything is going to knock them out of that spot until potentially week 7 and that matchup against Rochester. But this is what I can take from a week 1 game, SHG in Jacksonville. We talked about the SHG backfield. And I think deep down in our heart of hearts, we all knew that Tremaine Lee was the one that had the big wow capability. He had like 5 big wows on Friday. I mean, if you haven't seen those highlights, Griffin versus Jacksonville, go check him out. There's this play where he's running up the sideline and a kid dives for him. And you see the kid's arms like flail after him like 3 or 4 times, like he's reaching for him. And Tremaine Lee just remains a step out of his reach with every reach that the kid as he's flailing for him. It's just, there was a play where Adam Hillis, like a 6'4", 230-pound defender for Jacksonville, had him dead to rights. And Tremaine Lee just pushed him off of him and ran up the sideline for like 50 yards. I mean, I don't know how to explain the kid.
You saw glimpses of it last year, and he was in my bold predictions of, I think I called him, he could go down as one of the best running backs that the Springfield area has ever seen.
Yeah.
There are certain athletes that have that wow factor, like Xavier Bishop last year, like Andre Iguodala. Tremaine Lee is that type of player that has the wow factor.
Agree.
You go out to games to watch Tremaine Lee.
Agree.
And you say to yourself and ask yourself, what is this kid going to do next? Let's go out and see it. If you haven't seen him play live, you got to see him play live because he's unbelievable.
Chase must have read the Primetime Performers.
That's what you wrote?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't read it yet.
Well, thanks, man.
Sorry, I was going to.
It's cool.
It's on my list of things to do.
No, you talk about Tremaine Lee, but you also got to talk about that defense. I mean, if James White doesn't make the catch of the year, Jacksonville doesn't score in that game.
And this is a Jacksonville team that we're pretty high on.
Yeah.
It's hard to enter the season against SHG,
I think quietly that defense is going to be pretty darn good this year.
So Griffin is our number one. And listen, Tremaine Lee is a junior. There are opportunities left, but there's only so many opportunities in a high school football career. You know, what's he going to say? They play 14 games the next 2 years. I mean, if they did that, he would have 27 games left. Catch as many of them as you can. It's going to be fun to watch. Tristan Blair looked good that game too. 85 yards and a touchdown, and he broke a big one as well. So they're just, I mean, it's going to be fun. Rochester, number two. Dominant performance against Lanphier. I'm not sure that we learned anything there. We learned that we still don't know who the quarterback is.
Nick Baker started. Josh Grant came in at the end of the first quarter. Josh Grant threw for 4 touchdowns. Nick Baker threw for 2 touchdowns.
But I think that it was 8 and 9 attempts respectively for them.
So once the game got out of hand, which is when Josh Grant was in the game, that's when Rochester started to pile on points. Now, to start the game in 4 plays, Rochester had 14 points, 2 touchdowns, both to Colin Stallworth. So that big play capability that we've seen from Rochester, that is not missing at all. This team has weapons on top of weapons on top of weapons. And Alec Ostermeyer ran for over 100 yards. We weren't sure what Rochester's running back situation was going to be. He's not the Kenny Hedges type that gets outside of the tackles, but he'll run in between the tackles, and he's got some power to him.
Certainly helps that you can't stack the box.
Oh, you can't.
Well, then if you try to double up on some of those wide receivers, you give it to Ostermeyer, and he's going to run right up the gut.
He's basically going to have to play with like 3 safeties on all
those
guys.
The question is, what defense are you going to play against Rochester?
Yeah.
Now, SHG with a big line might be able to afford to double up on some of those wide outs.
Glenwood's also a little bit bigger, so we'll kind of see this week maybe more of a test to see what that line is like, because Glenwood's got more size on the line than Lanphier does.
Praying would be recommended.
Yeah.
If you're playing defense against Rochester.
Basically.
If that's what you're, if your prayer. Eisenhower at number 3. You guys had a chance to see them on Saturday. The talent certainly appears to be there. The question is, and this is not terribly uncommon for an Eisenhower team, is how disciplined will they be? It sounded like there was a lack of discipline or some sloppiness in that game on Saturday.
The whole game was sloppy. Players were dropping like flies out there with cramps, mostly on the MacArthur side. Eisenhower did struggle to find a rhythm because they were inconsistent and undisciplined. But if Eisenhower can play a clean game, they'll throw out four receivers out there, all of which are capable of splash plays, and Caleb Doherty ran for a really impressive touchdown. He's huge as a quarterback to see him up close and personal. That was the first time I had seen him in a game, and he can sling it too. So that Eisenhower team's good, and they've got some backs who are like 250-plus pounds.
A couple
so
of them.
Multiple backs.
Doherty turns it over three times in the first quarter. That's what worries me is... He put up those big numbers last year, and now he thinks that he's got to do it again, and you don't necessarily have to. He threw two picks to two very athletic MacArthur DBs, and then he fumbled on the goal line, kind of reaching for one, which he thought he was in, but he wasn't. You're talking about those running backs as well, and they have a perfect mixture of size and speed. They have Tymon Scott and Bryson Bonds. And Bryson Bonds ran for, I think it was like 126 yards.
Tymon Scott's the one that's 6'2", 270.
Yeah. And there's another one, too. What's the other kid? Who's the other one with the longer hair?
He didn't get a lot of carries,
than he
but
is,
he plays
though.
Linebacker
like 5'9",
on defense, yeah. And he's huge.
He's like 5'9".
He's bigger than he is. He's not going to run for more than 10 yards at a time, but he's guaranteed to get you three or four.
Yeah.
He's going forward, and then he's going to fall.
I wasn't sure.
That's all you need.
Eddie Lacy or Ron Dixon was on
but
the
that
field
Bryson Bonds kid, he's definitely one to watch as a running back because he's more than capable of running for 100 yards every game.
He's like Derrick Henry if Derrick Henry was playing high school football.
There you go. Derrick Henry's real cut, but
which is
size.
Which is a little bit
Eisenhower's
scary.
Got it.
Okay, so let's see. Eisenhower, by the way, has Lincoln this week, so they'll be 2-0 after week one. But they'll also have probably two of the easiest games out of the way as far as their schedule is concerned. So maybe not the worst thing for a team that's trying to work out some of those.
Well, look how they started
kinks.
Last year. They started with SHG and Rochester, so
right.
This year they get to kind of...
Yeah. Okay, so number four in the power rankings, we've moved Glenwood ahead of Jacksonville. Jacksonville took it on the chin against SHG. Glenwood... was impressive, jumped out to a 28-0 lead. Like their running spread concepts, they're giving Cole Hembrough an opportunity to try and get the ball in the hands of their playmakers in space. That is different than what they've done in the past. I talked to David Hay today for the Kirker and Coach podcast, which is up, by the way, channel1450.com. Some really cool, fun stuff in there talking with him about what it's like for him taking over that program. He said, listen, I heard people saying we ran for 500 yards. It's the same old.
It's not, though.
It's
different.
They never ran the spread or the read option like that. It's a different. Yeah, did they run the ball a lot? Yeah, well, they had a lot of success. So why?
But
would they
the game was also
a lot
of indicative of why they ran the ball.
Right.
Because they were up by 20 plus points. They got up 28-0. You're not going to pass the ball. You're going to try to bleed the clock.
Exactly.
So the stats don't tell the story as to what Glenwood did offensively. They did run a lot of read option sets.
So we'll see what they do in a game that is likely, I mean...
Defense is going to be the problem for Glenwood because it's a young group.
And that's
and
a
they
concern.
Gave up, I think, over 300 yards to Gavin Webb in that offense.
And that's a concern against Rochester this weekend, clearly.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the question mark for Glenwood. Jacksonville at number five. What's the silver lining for that team that lost 55-10?
Avery Dugan got SHG out of the way.
He got his feet wet.
And he didn't die.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
he was able to stay somewhat upright.
Onward and upward.
He's involved in possibly what could be the best catch of the year.
You played the best team in 6A. I mean, now that's out of the way, you can go try to get your five wins.
And Jacksonville this week has Springfield High. That game could
it's
be,
gonna be a, really,
a
good game.
Really exciting game over at Memorial Stadium this weekend. If you're looking at one to just go to, like certainly Glenwood Rochester will have entertainment value, but that's a sneaky good game right there, Jacksonville and Springfield High, and that could be two teams fighting for a fifth win that gets them into the playoffs, which is what that game almost always ends up being.
I think that game is going to tell us what each team brings to the table, Springfield and Jacksonville.
We'll have a better idea to know than we did when... Because Jacksonville played Lincoln, or I'm sorry, Jacksonville played SHG and Springfield played Lincoln. So you played probably the best team in the conference.
Two polar opposites.
And the worst team in the conference, and you don't really know. You're absolutely right. So we'll two more evenly matched teams this week. We'll find out who is where as far as that's concerned. So Jacksonville is in at number five. At number six is Southeast. This is the thing about Southeast. Two things for me. They were down 28-0. There was a time when on the east side, that team would have quit.
That team did not quit. No.
David Hayes said today, he said they would not go away. Like we were there till 10:15 because we could not, they wouldn't stop.
It was 28-0 when I left Rochester Lanphier. When I got to the game on the east side, it was 28-14. And every time Glenwood scored to enhance it to a three-score game, Southeast would come back to make it a two-score game. So they fought and played pretty well. I think their line is a problem. They don't have a lot of size up there. And every time Gavin Webb would step back to set his feet to throw, there was a Glenwood defender in his face. But Mark Johnson, Trevion Williams, Adrian Green, three receivers that are pretty good for Southeast. And once the play breaks down, it's nearly impossible to contain Gavin Webb because he can run all around the field.
The other good thing for Southeast is Matt Lauber's specialty is defense. I know he was not really excited about how the defense performed on Friday night.
He called the game on Friday, and that's what he normally does because he is a defensive guy, and he vowed to me that they're going to get better.
And I
don't have a doubt
will.
That they will, yep. Because I think he's one of the better young coaches in the area.
Yeah, and he's a defense guy, and he knows his stuff, and they will get better defensively. So they've got both those things going for him. Springfield in at number seven. This is the only thing that I was able to take away from the game against Lincoln. They split out into like four wide sets and threw it.
Rockford go like 10 of 12 with four touchdowns?
I don't know what the final stats were, but he threw a couple to Derek Jones, one to Rakeem Hawkins.
Cam Jones had a touchdown.
Yeah, so there are definitely some weapons there, and they do not look like they're going to try and force the triple option down people's throats, considering the options they've got now. That's against Lincoln. But here's the thing for me, like, I might have just gone out there and run it down everybody's throat, you know, run it down Lincoln's throat and not shown anything. Because now, they're going to go four wide, and everybody in the conference has seen that now.
But the last couple of months, we've been hearing from the players that they didn't have any confidence in that offense last year because they were second guessing themselves.
And you want to
going out there
live
one against Lincoln, maybe that gave them some confidence because they dropped 50 plus points and they realized that if they execute, play a clean game, they have the talent at the skill positions to maybe make it into the playoffs this year. Our note to Springfield High, you go out there and beat Jacksonville, you're gonna climb up these power rankings.
For sure.
Because this is a huge game in terms of conference implications.
Springfield High beats Jacksonville. I think that there's a real chance Springfield High can make the playoffs this year.
I do too.
If they don't beat Jacksonville, it's going to be a real tough slate.
But they were a two-win team last year with a lot of those kids coming back. So this is the prove-it week already in week two to show us what you got.
I totally understand why they went ahead and split out and ran that offense and got those reps in, because those live reps, you just can't. There's only so many of them. We're just talking about there's only so many games. There's only so many opportunities. There's only so many reps. To get those in, because this next week you don't want to be learning on the fly. You want to feel good about yourself going into that. So it certainly makes sense. MacArthur climbs ahead of Lanphier into the 8-hole, Lanphier into the 9-hole, and Lincoln stays at 10 in this week's power rankings. Everybody on with that?
Yeah, MacArthur is a fun team to watch for how many less wins they probably won't have. If that makes sense.
It didn't.
I think in the first quarter
they probably
alone,
won't win a lot of games, but they're really fun to watch. Because the Brummett brothers are just insane. I mean, Amir Brummett at quarterback, and when he went down, Armand stepped in and just started winging it too.
Yeah. But I think in the first quarter, Eisenhower got MacArthur to jump off sides on a hard count like three or four times.
Yeah.
In the first quarter alone. So discipline is definitely an issue with MacArthur. Athleticism with the Brummett brothers, though?
Not.
Unreal. Just unreal.
They'll be playing basketball too. That MacArthur team is going to be tough on the hardwood. It's going to be a fun year in the CS8 as well this year too. There's Lanphier and Southeast are both going to be really fun. Jacksonville's going to be really fun. That MacArthur team is going to be good. Eisenhower brings...
Already looking ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I can't help
Let's
it.
Let's enjoy football
I
first.
I know, but a lot of those guys are on the field right now, and it's just... By the way, I love seeing that, the multi-sport athletes. So there it is. That's the CS8 power rankings. It goes Griffin, Rochester, Eisenhower, Glenwood, Jacksonville, Southeast, Springfield, MacArthur, Lanvier, Lincoln, 1 through 10. We'll have the audio from both of these last two segments up on the channel 1450.com in just a little bit, along with write-ups on the CS8, and then we'll have the three of our Sangamo individual power rankings all posted there so that you can look to see where we're alike and where we're different as far as all of those are concerned. Channel 1450.com, press box, take one more break. We'll be back for our final segment.